January is prayer emphasis month for City Light Church. And I think if we're honest, most of us want to pray. Or we're at least attracted to the idea of a praying life in a praying church. I mean, most of us would like to experience more awe and intimacy with God in prayer, whether we know how to or not. I mean, most of us are attracted to the less busy heart that a praying life in a praying church offers us. I mean, who of us wouldn't enjoy kind of forgetting about ourselves as we praise God for all that he is in prayer? I don't know about you, but I would love to continually just unburden my heart through repenting of sin in prayer, receiving God's gracious word of pardon in Jesus Christ alone. I mean, who of us wouldn't, rather than being ungrateful, swell with thankfulness because we're expressing gratitude to God in prayer regularly? And we'd all like to bound into God's presence like the needy children we are. Ask boldly for what we desire and watch as our Father gives good gifts to his children who ask him. If we're honest, we love the idea of a praying life. And we're equally tired of perfunctory prayer, or rarely praying, or powerless fake prayer. I think that Joseph Scrivens, in his song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, beautifully describes our desire. He says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Whether we know how, we all hear that and go, "Yeah, I want in on that." You see, we want in on that because we were made to pray. And frankly, because we were made to pray, when prayer is a struggle, it's especially discouraging. Because we were made to pray, because we were made for awe and intimacy with God, when prayer is a struggle, it's particularly disheartening. But thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ preached the parable of the persistent widow to help us always pray and not lose heart in it. And so as we look to the parable, you'll notice there are two main characters. The first is a widow, the second is a judge. And you'll notice that the widow was powerless, vulnerable. She had suffered deeply the loss of her husband, and she's in need of justice against her adversary. And then there's the judge. Notice it says he didn't fear God, he didn't respect man, and therefore had no interest in giving the widow justice. But in the parable, the widow just keeps on coming. She keeps coming to the judge and asking boldly for justice against her adversary. Now, at first, the unjust judge just refuses. But notice, because the widow keeps bothering the judge, he grants her justice simply so that she just won't beat him down by continually asking. Now, this parable is a parable of contrasts. And in it, the Lord Jesus is essentially arguing from lesser to greater. Essentially, the Lord Jesus is saying, if the godless, loveless judge gave justice to a persistent widow who is no more than a nuisance to him, how much more will God answer his elect who cry to him day and night without giving up? And Luke summarizes the very purpose of the parable actually right in the very first verse. Notice what it says in Luke 18, verse 1. Notice it says, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." And that brings us to the big idea of our passage this morning. Always ask boldly and do not lose heart. Always ask boldly. I say ask boldly because that's the type of prayer that's highlighted in the parable. Always ask boldly and do not lose heart. Now, at this point, many of us are asking, well, okay, but how do we do that? I've grown tired and weary and disheartened in prayer so many times before. How in the world am I going to ask boldly and not lose heart? Well, the parable actually offers three answers. Three answers to that question, and they are our three points this morning. Always ask boldly and do not lose heart. How? First, see how you're not like the widow. See how you're not like the widow. Second, believe that God isn't like the judge. You have to believe that God isn't like the judge. And then third and finally, cry to God like the widow. Cry to God day and night like the widow. Let's take those one at a time. Always ask boldly and do not lose heart. How? Well, the first step toward asking boldly and not losing heart is seeing how you're not like the widow. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that this parable is a parable of contrast, and it's probably pretty obvious to most of us that God is being contrasted with the unjust judge. Okay, pretty clear. But I never saw this. Before I started studying this passage closely, I never saw that actually the first contrast in the parable is between the widow and the elect. That's the first contrast, between the widow and the elect. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, the elect, that's just shorthand for Christians. Because anyone who's repented and believed in Jesus Christ does so because God chose them before the foundation of the world. God elected, he predestined them for adoption as his sons or daughters through his true son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5 puts it this way. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So Christians are those who are predestined, chosen, adopted, forgiven, elect. And that's very different from the widow. Now, of course, to be sure, the widow is used as a positive example in the parable, and we'll get to that. But first, in order to ask boldly and never lose heart, we have to see how we, the elect in Christ, are not like the widow. You have to see how you're not like the widow. You have to see how your relationship with your father is nothing like the relationship between the widow and the unjust judge. Just think of some examples. You notice in the parable, the widow is a total stranger to the judge. He doesn't even know her name, just the widow. On the other hand, the father knows the elect better than we know ourselves. Actually, Psalm 139 says that before a word is even on our tongue, behold, our Father in heaven knows it altogether. You see how you're not like the widow? Or take it a step further, you notice that the widow is an annoying nuisance to the judge. He just wishes she'd go away. In contrast, the elect have the ear of their father. In 1 John 5:14, we read, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The judge wishes the widow would go away, but the father bends his ear to the elect. Do you see how you're not like the widow? The widow doesn't factor into the judge's interests, but the elect are uppermost in their father's affections. The widow has no clout with the judge, but we are the father's elect, beloved children. Do you see how you're not like the widow? See, until you see how you're not like the widow, you're gonna lose heart in prayer. Let me put it frankly. As long as you see yourself as unknown to God, an annoying nuisance to God, who he wishes would just get it together, go away, as long as you see yourself that way, you're never gonna ask boldly, and you're gonna quickly lose heart in prayer. However, if you see yourself as you are in Christ you are beloved, in Christ you are forgiven, in Christ you are adopted, in Christ you are chosen, in Christ you are the elect. And when you see yourself as the elect rather than the widow, then you will ask boldly and you will not lose heart because it's your privilege as the forgiven, adopted children of God. So the first step to always ask boldly and not lose heart is to see how you're not like the widow. And so maybe your first or your next step, let's say, in this prayer emphasis month is to ask God to give you eyes to see, the eyes of faith to see how you're not like the widow. Maybe your next step to asking boldly and not losing heart is saying, God, would you give me the eyes of faith to see that unlike the widow, I'm known by you. I'm loved by you. I'm welcomed by you, not because of my good works, but because of the finished work of Christ. Maybe that's your next step. Now, the second step to always ask boldly and not lose heart is believe that God isn't like the judge. So second, believe that God isn't like the judge. So let's remember what the judge is like. Our Lord describes him in Luke 18:2 this way. Take a look with me. It says, he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Okay, so since the judge doesn't love God and doesn't love people, he has no interest in giving the widow justice. And you notice he's so narcissistic that the only reason why he even grants the widow what she wants is for his own selfish purposes. He just needs her to go away. Look at verses 4 and 5. For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man. It's like, at least he's self-aware. Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. You know what the root of all of our struggles in prayer are? We think God's a lot like that. At the root, I believe, of every other struggle that we have in prayer is that we, in our heart of hearts, functionally tend to believe that God's actually a lot like that unjust judge. He's distant. He's cold. He's harsh. He's self-seeking. And so, of course, we don't ask boldly. We lose heart because, frankly, in our heart of hearts, we just don't believe he's good. I think that's why Jesus concludes the parable with that stinging question. You notice how Jesus concludes the parable? It's very interesting in verse 8. Look at it with me. He says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. But now look at this. He actually ends with a question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So the root cause of losing heart in prayer is a lack of faith. Or you could say it this way, false faith, believing that God is like the unjust judge. I love how Kevin Halloran puts it in his excellent book, When Prayer is a Struggle. I commend it to you, When Prayer is a Struggle. He writes, I'm convinced that every reason behind our inclination to forget the why of prayer is the result of one fundamental issue, our lack of faith. So maybe for you, your next step in prayer emphasis month is actually a confession. Just an honest confession to God. It sounds something like, Father, the reason why I'm not asking boldly, the reason why I don't talk to you very much, the reason beneath all the other reasons is because functionally in my heart of hearts, I have hard thoughts about you. I tend to think you're a lot like that unjust judge. Distant and cruel. And that's why I'm not asking boldly. Forgive me for believing lies about you. Give me true faith. That kind of prayer can unlock asking boldly and never losing heart, because the sin of all sins is believing that God is unloving. So if we're going to always pray and not lose heart, we have to believe that God is not like the unjust judge. So that just raises a question, which is, what is he like? What is he like? Well, actually, the parable doesn't tell us exactly what he's like, but maybe the greatest theologian that the English world has ever produced was a man named John Owen. He's an English Puritan named John Owen. And John Owen used to say that the primary medium by which God the Father relates to his children is love. Now, don't get stuck on that word medium. Maybe think of it this way. As one author has put it, any of you go to the dentist? Okay, good, you're better people than me. Okay, so you go to the dentist. I go occasionally, very occasionally. And the medium of my relationship with my dentist is one thing, my teeth. We relate to one another, me and my dentist, through my teeth. I mean, he's nice, you know, he asks me how life is, and I can't really answer because, you know, stuff's in your mouth, but really, if it weren't for my teeth, I wouldn't be there. It's the medium for our relationship. In the same way, the medium for our relationship with God the Father is his love, meaning the primary way that he relates to us is through his love. And we know Owen's right about that, because in 1 John 4, we read again and again that God is love. And so, City Light Church, if you want to ask boldly and not lose heart, repent of having hard thoughts about God and ask him to give you faith to believe that he is not like the unjust judge. I love the way Owen puts it. Owen wrote, "Let us look on our Father, let us look on him by faith as one that had thoughts of kindness toward us from everlasting." I love that. If you're in Christ, it's because God chose you before the foundation of the world, not on the basis of anything in you, but because of his sovereign grace. That means God will never stop loving you because he never started. He has loved you forever, and he set his love on you in Christ. And if you would ask boldly and never lose heart, look to the cross where God's love is displayed. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The second step to always ask boldly and never giving up is believing that God isn't like the judge. Rather, he is your Father in heaven who has rescued you by grace and grace alone because he loves you, and he loves you because he loves you. So why do we ask boldly? How do we ask boldly and never lose heart? First, see that you're not like the widow. You're the elect. Second, believe that God is not like the unjust judge. He's your loving Father in heaven. And then third and finally, cry to God like the widow. Cry to God like the widow. If you're going to ask boldly, never lose heart, cry to God like the widow. So though our relationship with our Father in heaven is wildly different from the widow's relationship with the unjust judge, the widow serves as a positive example for us. Like she gave the judge no rest, we should give God no rest, crying to him day and night for good gifts for the sake of his glory. Luke 18, verses 5 to 7. Notice how Jesus puts it. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? In other words, Jesus is saying, you're not the widow. You're the elect of God in Christ. And God's not the unjust judge. He's your Father in heaven. How much more should we live by crying to him day and night and not giving up? It's really a matter of faith. But faith can be cultivated. And so as we close, I want to offer you six brief prayer paths that can cultivate your faith in prayer. If you think of faith in prayer like a fire, this is the kindling that you can put around it. First, keep praying. If you want to ask boldly and never lose heart, cry to God day and night like the widow, keep praying. The widow cries to God day and night. As simple as it sounds, if you want to always pray and not lose heart, always pray. Every time you have the inclination or temptation to pray, give into it. Always pray. And don't give in to the temptation to give up. Always pray. Second, pray together. If you want to ask boldly and never lose heart, pray together. Sometimes people ask, what's more important, private prayer or praying together? That's like asking what's more important, breathing in or breathing out. They go together. But I will tell you that one of the most helpful things to keep me asking boldly is the 1 hour every Wednesday morning that I spend doing nothing but praying with the other elders of City Light Church. Something about getting together with other Christians, that keeps you asking boldly. You can kind of borrow their faith in prayer. And any one of you can organize that with anyone else here at City Light. You don't need anyone's permission to do it. Pray together. Third, find a secret time and a secret place to pray. Find a secret time and a secret place. In Matthew 6, Jesus, when he's teaching on prayer, says, "And when you pray, go into your closet, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, Jesus is not saying the only place you can pray is your closet. What he's saying is, if you want to ask boldly and not lose heart, it really helps to have a secret time and a secret place to pray. And every parent of a young child just said, "Easier said than done." You know, Susanna Wesley, she was the mother of the great preacher John Wesley and the great hymn writer Charles Wesley. It was hard for her to find a secret time and a secret place to pray. She had 11 children. She raised them in a small home in England before the time of running water and indoor plumbing. So you can imagine it was hard for her to find a secret time and a secret place to pray. So you know what she did? She had a chair. She would sit down in it. She would take her apron. She would pull it over her head. And that was as secret a place as she could possibly get. And she would pray. And pretty soon her children learned not to bother their mother when her prayer apron was over her head. So let's get creative. Find a prayer apron, because finding a secret time and a secret place will help you ask boldly and not lose heart. Fourth, pray scripture. Pray scripture. The very best way I know to ask boldly and not lose heart is to pray the Bible back to God. Because when you pray the Bible, you know you're praying the heart of God. And so it gives you great confidence to ask boldly. Now, you can do this very literalistically, and I mean that positively. Like, you can take a psalm and just read it as a prayer. You can take the Lord's Prayer and read it as a prayer. You can take one of Paul's prayers and read it as a prayer to God. But you can actually turn any passage from the Bible into prayer using what I call the 3 R's method, and this is not original to me. 3 R's. Rejoice, repent, request. So any passage of scripture, you read it, begin with rejoicing to God over what that passage reveals about who he is and what he has done. Rejoice. Second, repent. Whatever sin in you that that passage convicts you of, reveals in you, you repent. You say the same thing to God about your sin that God says. You ask him for strength to turn from sin back to him in holiness. Rejoice, repent, and then the third one is request. You turn the passage into petition, asking God on the basis of the passage for yourself, for your family, for your friends, for your church family, and for the world. And you can ask boldly and not give up because you know you're praying the heart of God. Fifth, organize your prayers. If you want to ask boldly, not lose heart, it really helps to organize your prayers. That's why last week we gave you those 3x5 index cards to write prayers on. If you're like, I wasn't here last week, it's okay. We got them at CVS, so you know, avail yourself of that. But when you grab this, here's what you can do with these 3x5 cards. You just write down a few words that give you a snapshot of the thing or the person or the desire that you want to pray. Maybe put a Bible verse on there so that you know you're praying God's heart, and you just give God no rest. And it's something about having these 3x5 cards. I actually have mine in my pocket right here. There's something about having those that just keeps you asking boldly and not losing heart. And you can also use the Prayer Mate app on your phone. That'll help you keep those organized. Okay. That can really help you ask boldly and not lose heart. And then sixth, keep eternity in view. To ask boldly and not lose heart, keep eternity in view. Now, why do I say that? It's actually because of the context in which Jesus preached this parable. In the context in which Jesus preached this parable, he had just told his disciples that no one will know the precise time of his coming in advance. And so the disciples are feeling discouraged. We don't know when Jesus is coming again, and Jesus preaches the parable of the persistent widow to help us always pray and not lose heart, even when it seems like Jesus' second coming is slow in coming. You see, Jesus came the first time to live, die, and rise to forgive us of our sins, to give us eternal life. But he is coming again to make all things new. And for all who repent and believe in Christ in this life, we will be ushered into a new heaven and a new earth. And we will see how every one of our prayers was either answered with yes, or we were given what we would have asked for if we knew everything that God knows. We pray with the hope of eternity in view. And so, City Light Church, you're not like the widow. You're the beloved elect of God. God's not like the unjust judge. He's your Father in heaven through Christ, as compassionate as he is capable. And so let's always ask boldly and never lose heart. Let's pray. Father, we have heard your word, and we pray that you will do three things. We pray that you will give us faith to believe your word. We pray that you will give us strength to obey your word. And we pray that you will give us hearts that love it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.